Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 246. Today we have Kenya Brooks John, the president and the CIO of John Softy Corp. Kenya leverages her expert in education software technology and demonstrating the ability to leverage resources to effectively position John Software Corporation as a sustainable leader in the EdTech community. Hello, Kenya.
Hello, love. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I know the clan here is anxious to hear your story. So let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your tech business?
Oh, certainly. I always tell people I won't bore you with my history back to the 1700s, but I'll start a little more modern with technology. I've been really fortunate that I grew up in generations, I dated back to my grandparents in the 60s with technology. So it's something that I was always in app or around or exposed to. I started after the university, interning with a tech company after what we call the dot-com era. And that led me into working for AT&T Corporation. So there I did large volume data, T1s and connectivity. That was kind of how I started. So I used to do large scale connecting of even how we're speaking today. That was kind of how I got my real start. And then I transitioned over into Big Pharma, which was still a technology component. And it's bridged into here we are today at Jones Software Corporation.
Wow. You have a long journey. An exciting one.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, thank you. But Kenya, why do you do what you do?
My truth is that I always tell people, and I will say this 3-4 times, I've been extremely fortunate. My childhood, my rearing, the things that I have had exposure to, it does read like a story or fairy tale sometimes. I think that with those opportunities, I have been in many rooms where I didn't see people that look like me. And so it started down a journey of my give back, meaning, for example, when we came off tour during high school, most of Eastern Europe, most of my friends went on to tour with very known celebrities that you'll know and love. But I decided to go back into the community and start a trajectory of introducing ballet. So that's been a part of my life. And Jones Software became something that birthed out of those things, nurturing, mentoring, finding the kid that was kind of left behind, the kid that people may say he or she didn't matter. Well, they all matter. And so it birthed something that became a rite of passion for me, a rite of passage. It birthed into a business.
But then you said your family has been in the tech industry for a long time and also you went into it. So let's put man aside. How did you know you are successful being on your own?
Well, because the truth was I was an only child growing up. So there wasn't a lot to share in the room. But I was fortunate. I had my great-grandparents, my grandparents, a set of another great grandparents, a set of another grandparents. So there was a lot of kind of making sure I was exposed in life. And so for me, the successes were they would kind of just let me go. They would let me figure things out. And it wasn't success to anybody's barometer but my own. But I started doing things early in life, like raising money for March of Dimes. I was 10 years old. and I was alone on a 5K walk. So there's stories like that that I can tell you, so many of them, where success wasn't built in a vacuum for me, but there was always something missing in my successes. It was called equity. It was called equality. Like I said, I was mostly time the only girl in the room. Most of the time I was the only person of color in the room. And I noticed that in a lot of countries, the underserved was more of a way of life. And it was something that I used to take for granted. And so it became my passion to turn that around and start giving, not just giving back, but giving my all to solve the problem.
Now you are fortunate you grew up around tech, but you have met other people because of your business, and I see you are well traveled around the world. But can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
And I agree with that, but I think that in finding your way of what you're put out for, you have to be exposed to resources. You have to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. My children played football, they played baseball, they played basketball, and no one went on to the university to play sports because they just wasn't that good at it, or they didn't have the passion to take it to different levels. My daughter found herself to become a scientist, and I only exposed her to things, but it wasn't a driver on what she or my kids had to be good at. So I think the key was exposing and then allowing us as human beings to decide, because it may not be a grandiose career as such, as far as, you know, paying you the big money, but it may be the janitor at the school board because you want to be closer to your own kid.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
It's hard.
I thought it was easy for you.
No. And anything I've just shared with you, none of it has come to pass. It's easy for me. I have lived an arduous life. It may look great on paper. It may sound great, but I had to work 10 times harder than my counterparts. So I take nothing for granted. Even though I may have come in with some experiences, I still had to learn, you know, the culture and the environments that I was in order to succeed in it, yes? So for me, starting this business, even though it's my passion, it's still a business. It has to have a business model. It has to have trajectory. It has to look good. You have to have a bank account. You have to have financial people that believe in you. You have to have an advisory board. So you're constantly selling yourself and your ideas, because you're on every level of business, you have to get people to buy into you.
Did you ever come across whereby you went to sell your idea and they said, no? Had you ever found any rejections along the way?
Absolutely.
How did you deal with rejection?
So many of those stories, but I'll keep it PG for your audience. I think that the no's strengthen you. Because the no's come more than the yeses. Yes, they do. So when you get no's, either the no's are going to make you stop, quit, pivot, or kind of what I call steamroll forward, right? And so most of the no's have made me steamroll forward, because most of the no's I've heard really gave me gravitas that I have something.
Is it like one no you went, you're like, I have been working on this project for the whole year, I really want it to go through. Is anyone like one where you're like, you know, I don't think I'm gonna make it in this industry?
Yes. I mean, even in our current climate, we had so many school districts that were set to sign up with us. And when the pandemic started, our phones stopped ringing in some areas just because they have to figure out what their new normal is and where we fit in. So no isn't always bad either for us in business. No sometimes is some of the best training we'll get. And it keeps us on our feet, because you cannot be a technology or innovative company if you're not being innovative.
Tell us, how did e-learning struggle to take off before COVID-19?
Well, e-learning was you know, it sits in a plethora, like when you say pharmaceutical or medical. So e-learning can mean so many different things to so many different people. I'll give you an example for the United States. There's 43,000 school districts, and they all govern themselves at their school board level. So what e-learning means to a group of children or students or educators, administrators in, you know, Washington, D.C. or San Francisco or Atlanta, it means something different to them as far as their need. So how do you become a company that can meet most of those goals, but you're still not the answer? So you find yourself in a position right now, even before the pandemic, to becoming a vital tool to help the teachers, but you don't become the teacher.
How is your business dealing with that?
We're doing very good. Like I said, after the pandemic, we had to do some quick pivoting and find some new innovative ways to push our company more forward. We've made some wonderful relationships in United Kingdom, and we're looking forward to how we bridge the gaps that are needed. And there are 53 sovereign countries within the United Kingdom. So that gives me a lot of hope that there are a lot of school districts that will need our help, and we're looking forward to it.
Who are your partners in the UK?
We've been working with London Mathematical Society, which I kind of write and work with my code. I also work with Google for Startups in our London office. And we've been partnering with EdTech Impact to date. And then there's some more to come.
But can students get quality or inequality in remote learning? Tell us about it.
And that's a very good question, because the quality of product, I think, is so important more than the platform itself. The technology is great, and we look at the technology component as a home. So in you're choosing your home, you know, everyone has different tastes. Some like leather, some like, you know, different fabrics. It's the product. So again, if you're a school district that we cater to, you're looking to fill those gaps. You're looking to fill the gaps of where kids have been before the pandemic, after the pandemic, and moving forward. Well, that's what we do very well, is we have come up with a beautiful artificial intelligence technology to hone in on where a student is lacking at the moment he logs onto the system.
What would you say about like primary, secondary, higher education learners to make the leap from being a personalized learning to create and develop?
I love that question. Thank you, because that's what we pride ourselves on. So we look at our company as a model, meaning we know that STEM and education technology, STEM components, is not going anywhere. It's going to be our jobs of now, today. I used to say before the pandemic, the future. But now we're in, these are the jobs of today. So you have to have some type of technology in your artoir before you are considered hireable. There is exams at Google that most people don't pass the first time. So we have to make sure that our kids, full stop, as young as third grade, are prepared. That way, when they enter into the high school world and the university world, they can compete, not just on their local level of their community, but on a global level. So that bridges them into career and development, which we garner internships here at our company. We work on in-class learning, outside class curriculum. So we're giving real world exercises on what they're gonna see, not just, you know, sitting in front of their whiteboard every day, but these are real life experiences that what we say is math is everywhere.
But do you believe like someone from the world country, because I see you are having like Brazil, Africa, Kenya, can they come and compete with somebody who's in the United States?
I do. I absolutely do. And I absolutely believe that the education I've received from other countries have been some of my greatest.
Tell us. Sure.
So I do. I believe that all kids can learn. I believe that all kids can learn in whatever environment they come from. I've personally been in some of those environments, and it would be some of the most amazing kids you've ever touched and hugged and loved on, as I get to do. And this is a part of why we do what we do, because not only the kids in the United States, we have kids here that are underserved and underrepresented in a unbelievable way, even in our rural communities. And all of those kids have an opportunity to learn. It's just we have to do better as the grown-ups in giving them the resources and the tools they need.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
We love our kids. We absolutely love what we do every day. And we don't give up on anyone. And I think that's contributed to why we're in a year 5 program with our IBM school. We're in a year 1 program with Microsoft, because we actually show up and we're involved with every kid and every parent who allows us.
What is one thing that no one knows about you?
Ooh. Oh, wow. That's so good. Yeah, because I don't talk about me often, so there are many things.
We would like to hear them. Your kids would love to hear them.
My kids would love to hear that I studied ballet, and I studied it abroad, and I did a stint in Russia when it was still Soviet.
Do you still practice ballet?
I still practice. There's a beautiful studio right by my home. I do training every Wednesday night. I will start up again once we open up. But yeah, I do still train. I do still study. And I am an advocate for arts and education.
So where did you train for your ballet? You said abroad.
I did abroad, but my home is Atlanta, Georgia, where I grew up. So I attended a performing arts school. And that's where I did most. So through high school is where I got the most of my training. And then at the university level, I continued to train. So it helped me pay for college.
Wow. But you did not think about taking it as a profession. I was not.
If you have time, I can tell you the story.
I do. That's why I asked.
Yeah. So at the time, my group was an amazing group of dancers. And this was during 88. And I don't know if you were in London in the 80s, but I was there summer of 88. My mother was in intelligence in the Navy. So I spent 2 weeks out of the summer in London during the late 80s through high school. I would travel, come back with her. And Michael Jackson was on tour. And he brought his tour from London and he came to the States and he wanted to meet with some of our dancers because he was scouting for dancers. And I was on the short list. And I can name a few people that went on to dance with Michael. And when I came home and had this family meeting, and it was a really big family meeting because my great grandparents came up from Florida. Wow. And so they said, well, what will you do with this, you know, dancing and, you know, entertainment? And I said, well, you know, maybe I'll go to the University of Paris and study and maybe do one tour with Michael, but then continue my ballet career. And my dad, first time I saw him in tears, he said, you're so smart. You have so much more to offer the world. He said, I tell you what, if you try the university for 1 year, I'll pay for everything. If you don't like school, then I'll let you go. And you can dance forever. And I did, out of respect and honor for my family. I went down to the university in Florida and I absolutely fell in love with education and academia, along with being able to still dance. And the rest is here I am.
Wow, he really found a way how to keep you grounded. Wow, that was a trick.
Yeah, because my mom to this day still says it was just, you know, even though I traveled abroad and I've been with family and family trips, and she just felt like it was too much water. Then that's what she said. It's too much water to have to, you know, to be there for you and come and get you. this time going alone is different than going with your tour group or family vacation. So I just listened and obeyed, and I was angry at her for a very long time, but as you can see, I'm really over it. And I love her more for even allowing me to be that angry at her, and knowing she had the absolute best for me at the time, and I didn't know it.
At least now you're saving those kids who needs education. And I know Barry, so you would have thought Barry, but this is a bit more than Barry.
I'm doing everything I wanted to do in life. And yes, ballet was a part of that, but it wasn't the road. And I'm glad I took the road I did.
In your businesses, do you ever have coaches and mentors?
Yes, I always have had a mentor in my life. And I think it's so important, because my grandfather was probably my biggest mentor in my personal life. And then I had a business mentor of over 15 years. And it was a one-on-one, you know, where I could really pull from his knowledge. And we talked about everything from civil rights to being in the boardroom and how do you get board seats. And I think that is the most important thing that changed my trajectory in my business world, because it allowed me to see things from different pendulums.
What is the most valuable thing your coaches or your mentors has told you?
So I'll give you a quote. It stays with me to this day, and I'll share it wherever I can. Leadership is the ability to accomplish tasks through others without creating hostility. Yeah, there's so much more behind that, because it took a long, long time for me to get there. Wow. Yeah, he was my sensei. Wax on, wax off. There was a lot of work involved.
What is the most valuable thing you have ever given away?
Wow, I would have to say, when my kids became of age and you have to let them go and be human and be adult and make their own mistakes and trust that the universe and God will take care of them.
Tell us more about your company, Jones Software. Tell us more.
Well, JSC, Jones Software, jsofttech.com, it's an amazing company to work at. I sometimes don't believe I pinch myself that we have created something so amazing. And one of the last thing my mentor said is always be able to create jobs. And that's the other model, JSC. We create jobs. We create really good jobs. And it's a company that birthed out of a mentoring program. My amazing husband was working with Merrill Lynch on Wall Street, and he was starting to build inroads into the community in Indiana, Northwest Indiana. And as he was doing such, he started gravitating toward educators. And with that, he started bringing professionals like myself and others that he knew to come out and mentor these kids. Well, we were in this quagmire of, before we could get to the actual mentor class time, we were dealing with behavior and what we call, you know, social emotional learning and, you know, problems at home. And we started accepting it. We started saying to them, it's okay. We started being human with these little people who we thought were amazing. And then we started seeing these deficiencies when we got over that hump, were severely in math. And so we started this fluency of scratch paper. But there was a light that was clicking when they could tell us 2 + 2 the quickest, or X, what? I mean, they were just getting excited on scratch paper. And so my husband always says the Wozniak version of Steve Jobs. He built this small version on a floppy drive. I'm really dating myself. And so we took it back into the school districts, and it was working to watch the kids run up to the smart board and answer questions and laughing and singing math songs that we had created for them. And we came home one day and said, we've got something. We we don't know what we have yet. And let's, you know, let's go around to a couple of other school districts and see what they say. And yeah, we did have a lot of bugs in it because we weren't really developers at the time. But outside of that, it really was working. And then we decided, fast forward to 2015, our former mayor here in Chicago said, you need to get over to 1871. And we said, what? It, Chicago Fire 1871? We had no idea what it was. But it was an incubator, a tech hub here in the Midwest area of the United States. And we sat over there until today and developed the I Like Math CARES program and Jones Software Corporation. Here we are today. So we are at www.j-softtech.com. And our social media handles are JSoft, if you want to tweet us, if you want to like us on Facebook, we're at Jones Software Corp. And our Instagram is Jones Software Corporation. So, and please visit our website, call us. My Skype is available. We try to be easily accessible because the goal for us is to get to the kid.
Can anyone outside the United States access this Jones Software Corp?
Yes, please. We have developers that are based in India. We have many works that we do. We're actually looking for registry in the UK. So we will have an office there outside of De Morgan House where we sit now, but we will have our own office coming within the next year.
And what type of age? Which one do you come to this tech? Like secondary, primary?
Well, I always say zero.
I remember that.
I always say the earlier you expose them, the better off they will be in life. And it doesn't have to be anything arduous for a K through 12 student. I say make it fun, make it exciting for them, make it something that they ask you to do in their spare time, just like if they ask mom for a certain book. I think that technology should be at the same level, but you know, third grade is the maturation grade for a student where they start developing their skills for the future. So I always recommend that at least by third grade is the starting point.
Thank you for sharing. So Karen, there will be more from Ken in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Kenya's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Kenya's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Kenya.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of patients and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.